Hello, my name is Bob Marzano, and I'm the CEO of Marzano Research Lab here in Denver, Colorado. And this is the fourth segment of a seven-segment video series describing and discussing what works in school, in Oklahoma schools, a study that was conducted across two academic years, the 2009-2010 academic year and 2010-2011 academic years and academic year. From that study, and if you look at the first segment, we try to summarize some of the things we did in that study. Five recommendations fell out fairly clearly. This is the third recommendation. Student engagement should receive a school-wide focus. Now, this actually came mostly from student responses, and then what we noticed is that, that students talked about engagement, you know, almost across the board. That you could say that you could interpret the data. There was a general message from students that they wished things were a little more engaging, and it seemed to be a stronger message in the schools that were on improvement status. Again, but that said, even if you're a school and you're not in the needs improvement status, this is an area you might want to work on, that students just generally, you know, perceive things not as being as engaging as they want. Now, again, that, you know, maybe we have to take that with a grain of salt too. All of us, particularly when we're students, like to be engaged as much as possible. Engagement is not the synonymous with entertainment. Now, there are tools to that end that we try to provide for you as a result of this study. All the tools that I'm talking about in this series, they're all available in the Phase 3 report of the What Works in Oklahoma Schools study. Those Phase 1, Phase 2, and Phase 3, be thrilled if you read all of them, can be found on the Oklahoma State Department Oklahoma State Department of Education website, recommendation 3. For this particular one, which is student engagement to receive a school-wide focus, we focus more on the teacher, things that teacher can do. And actually, I would assert that the research in theory on engagement is pretty clear, I believe, in terms of recommendations that teachers might consider in terms of how to make their classrooms more engaging. And in this this little tool here that we try to provide, it's a series of planning questions that teachers might ask themselves. And we broke them into two broad categories. One, we call them daily strategies, and just what it sounds like, that the recommendation here is that these are things that the teacher does systematically, if not daily. And then there's things that are done more on an opportunistic basis. And by that I mean the second category, called opportunistic strategies. These have to have a certain context, you know, to be used. So you couldn't use these probably every day. Just they don't fit, you know, with everything that the context of every day. So let me go over some of the daily strategies here. And I'm just skimming the top to give you a feel for this area here. And the planning questions for teachers. And actually doesn't take long just to fill this out. You know, what do I typically do in this area? And if not, you know, what will I do? So pacing, that's one area. Pacing is one of the factors in terms of engagement. If your pace is too slow, students get, you know, disengaged. So questions like this for pacing: do I have appropriate routines in place for the administrative tasks I will be using today? You know, if yes, that's great. If not, what will I do about it? Am I aware of the transitions between activities I will use today and plan for how to address those transitions? Now, that gives you a feel for pacing. Intensity and enthusiasm is another thing should be thought about every single day, I would assert. What aspects of my content addressed today am I particularly enthusiastic about? So you look ahead and say, what are some neat topics here? And then how will I demonstrate my enthusiasm? Will I use personal stories, verbal and nonverbal signals, or just getting myself excited again, reviving the zest for teaching, if you will? Another category of strategies, engagement strategies that might be addressed every day, teacher-student and peer relationships. Now, you might not think that that is an engagement strategy, but boy, pretty much anything you read on student engagement says that students to be engaged have to feel like they have good relationships with their peers and good relationships with the teacher. It's kind of foundational. Without this, it's a little more difficult to have students highly engaged. So for example, what can I do today to ensure fair and equitable treatment of all students? Are there ways of showing interest in and affection for students that I will use in today's class? Students are young human beings, and young and old human beings want to know that people care for them, that people have affection for them, particularly their teachers. How can I gather positive information to use in building relationships? And here's what that means, particularly for those students who are disengaged. Find out things about them that allow you to have an interaction with them outside of class or within class, but not about academics. Maybe some things they're interested in or something that happened positive in their life, just a way of, being able to have that informal discussion inside class or outside class. It communicates to the student, hey, I care for you. Verbal feedback is something that should also be addressed on a daily basis relative to high engagement. Some planning questions. In the survey that we've given you or the planning tool we've given you. During what activities today could I provide praise and feedback to students? What are some phrases I should avoid when providing praise and feedback? And what are some phrases I should use when providing praise and feedback? If you look at the current research on verbal feedback, very powerful research come out that has been published over the decades by Carolyn Dweck, and she basically says that the research of her and her colleagues basically indicates that how we give students feedback either reinforces the message that hey, if you work hard you can do it, or you either have it or you don't. And even though it's kind of counterintuitive, maybe when we praise by saying you're very good at this, you're smart at this, it really reinforces the notion either you have it or you don't. A better way of giving praise, you could argue, is that to say, hey, nice job, you really worked hard on that. It was clear you were very prepared and you were really trying when you were doing it. So those are the strategies that I would assert the research says you might consider on a daily basis. Opportunistic strategies. Doesn't work necessarily every day, but you look ahead and you say, boy, does this particular category of strategies fit in what I'm going to do today? Physical movement. I would assert, boy, if we took seriously what we know about physical movement and engagement, students wouldn't be sitting for any more than about 10 minutes. So question, what opportunities are there to introduce physical movement? And a bunch of strategies are listed. Humor. Can I incorporate humor into any of the content that's going to be addressed today? Doesn't fit all the time, but look ahead and what are some possibilities for humor and what strategies will I use? Self-directed humor, funny headlines or quotes. There are many strategies here. Another category of opportunistic strategies is games and inconsequential competition. Students love games. They have to be academic in nature. They're usually used to review vocabulary. If you have a little inconsequential competition, all the better. Here's what inconsequential competition means. You break the students into groups for a particular unit. Every once in a while to liven things up, and for review of important vocabulary, you play a few games, and the top three teams get certain points. You keep doing that throughout the unit, you keep adding up points for teams, and at the end of the unit, the three teams with the highest number of points, they win. And they get some silly little recognition for that, maybe coupons to buy juice in the cafeteria. Now what you do is the next unit, mix the students up. So across the year, every student is going to probably be in a group that wins, and every student's going to be in one or more groups that loses. Inconsequential competition. Friendly controversies, another huge category of strategies, very powerful in terms of engaging students. Doesn't fit every lesson. So it's what's called opportunistic strategies. It's a category of opportunistic strategies. Planning questionnaires, could I incorporate friendly controversy into any of the content addressed today? And friendly controversy, basically, and there's a number of techniques for doing that listed here. Basically, though, the idea is to get students to identify their position on areas of disagreement. It's not going to fit all the time. So you want them to identify where they disagree and then support their positions. And of course, there's a lot of very powerful 21st century, if you will, skills about interacting with others, about supporting a position, about arguing from logic as opposed to emotion, can be reinforced with friendly controversy techniques. Unusual information, another category of opportunistic strategies. Could I incorporate unusual information into any of the content that I address today? And unusual information might be a little tidbit, you know, that's maybe even only tangentially related to the learning goal, but it just kind of hooks people. Usually it has to do something with human beings. An example of this is I remember talking to a teacher who, when he taught his unit on Hemingway, would always introduce little facts about Hemingway. For example, apparently Hemingway's parents wanted to have a daughter, not a son, so for the first 3 years, of Hemingway's life, he was dressed as a girl by his parents. And he would bring each things like that in every day. Again, it doesn't fit all the time, but it might in a particular unit, and that's why we call these opportunistic strategies. Another category, students' lives. Can I incorporate comparisons to students' lives in any of the content addressed today? Here's the intent of this one. If students are talking about things that are interesting to them personally, they're probably pretty engaged. Problem is, you're teaching Algebra 1, and they're interested in hockey. You know, how does that come together? Well, there's actually a whole set of comparison type strategies that at certain points in certain lessons, allow a teacher to say, now, show me how this is like something that you're interested in, or how this would apply to your something you're excited about in life. And let's take hockey, I think, example versus Algebra 1. Well, hockey, like any sport, has statistics in it and patterns over time. One student might say, there's some, equations that are actually used in hockey to rate players. All of a sudden, Algebra 1 makes sense, and the student gets a chance to talk about his or her passion. One of my favorite examples was, I believe this is either Algebra 1 or of an advanced mathematics course, where one of the students picked football. Teacher had been teaching polynomials and asked the students to identify an area they're interested to which polynomials are applied or could be applied. And he found out that the equation for rating quarterbacks is a very complex polynomial. And apparently there's one equation for the pros and there's another equation for college football players. All of a sudden, polynomials became probably pretty sharp interest to this student, and he got to talk about one of his favorite things, and that was football. Students' life ambitions. This one, you have to work to put it into a typical classroom, but this one basically, let me read you. Are there specific units or courses I can use personal projects in? How long will the project take? How much time will be spent each week on the project? This one, basically, the recommendation is, allow students to identify a personal goal in their lives, which could be just for that year, or it could be, they want to be a professional baseball player. Doesn't matter. What does matter is they're excited about it. But what you do now is have them actually start working on that goal. If it's to be a professional baseball player and I'm a ninth grader, well, I'm not going to pull that off in a year's period of time. But I can set goals for that year. I can get a little bit better in terms of my fielding. I can investigate, what does it take to be a professional baseball player and what are the stages and what do I have to do to get to that first stage. Now, again, typically this one is done by making time in specific classes or even have given it its own time, maybe once a week, courses devoted to students working on their personal goals. Life ambitions, application of knowledge. The more we use cognitively complex tasks and ask students to be engaged in those, you could say that you probably increase the probability of students being engaged. So does the content being addressed today lend itself to authentic applications of real-world issues? Student progress. What I think the research clearly shows, when students see their progress over time, they tend to be more engaged. So this one deals with, can students track their progress over time on any of the content addressed today? Examples of self-efficacy. The research on engagement and motivation, I think, is becoming more strongly focused on student self-efficacy, the extent to which they see themselves as instrument of their own future. And that's kind of the general definition of what self-efficacy is. And this category of strategy says, give them examples of on a system, more often than not, people who have accomplished great things, and the closer to their lives, the better. So, are there specific units or courses that could provide examples of efficacy? And if so, how can I use stories in this situation? How can I use quotations? So, stories, it's great. People love stories, and for students to be fed on a regular basis, stories about people from their own community or people not from their own community that accomplished great things. The more of that, the better. And then finally, teaching about self-efficacy, that students can actually be taught, and this actually gives some responsibility back to the student, you know, for their own engagement. They can be taught that, you know, they're in control of how they react in a situation, and they're in control of whether they apply themselves or not. And pretty much, if they're willing to apply themselves, they can accomplish, you know, most if not all of what they want. So, relative to this recommendation, student engagement should receive a school-wide focus. To do this, you could survey students, but my guess is you probably find, even in the best situation, students saying, boy, this could be, we wish it was a little more engaging. There's a whole series of things you can do. We put those into two categories, things that you do on a daily basis and things that are done a little more opportunistically. Using the little planning guide here, teachers within a school could take that and identify areas they want to work on, and then just see how it goes and share their results, you know, at faculty meetings. So that's recommendation number three that came out of What Works in Oklahoma School Studies. Student engagement should receive a school-wide focus.